It is February 13th, 2023, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I'm John Lothian, and yes, I have a cold. This podcast gives an overview of content from the John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from our hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from Friday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. Messages like this are never good. The United States has told its citizens to leave Russia immediately due to, quote, the threat of arbitrary arrest and or harassment by Russian law enforcement agencies, Reuters reported. Ukraine's Minister of Finance, Serhiy Marchenko, has written an opinion piece in the Financial Times titled, "It's Time to Cut Russia Out of the Global Financial System. Moscow's Invasion of Ukraine and Financing of Terrorism Makes a Mockery of the Idea of Rules-Based Order." Here is the last paragraph from his commentary. Russia has been allowed to undermine the system from inside for too long. The international order can only survive if the rules are followed. We have powerful mechanisms available to enforce these rules. The time has come to use them. The Guardian reported that the U.S. military shot down an octagonal-shaped object flying over military sites in Michigan. That was actually a prototype flying trading pit that utilizes AI, VR, and floating traders inside a helium-filled octagonal trading pit balloon, or not. Are you getting ready for conference season? Well, Polita Clark of the Financial Times has a commentary for you titled, "How Not to Be a Panelist from Hell. Start off by obeying the basic ground rules that popular panel speakers know well." Here's a timely offering from our friends at Exchange Analytics. They have a new cybersecurity course, quote, featuring the expertise of Robert Bigman, former CISO for the Central Intelligence Agency, addresses the significant threats that every firm faces. The course is designed to satisfy the annual training requirements mandated by the NFA and FINRA. You can click on a link in today's newsletter for more information. Ken Griffin is inspiring investors who want to work from the beach, according to a Bloomberg headline. Miami, Florida tops the investor wish list of where they would like to work from globally if they were relocated, the story said. Chicago's LaSalle Street is not the only financial district to have buildings stressed by the post-pandemic work-from-home world. According to a Bloomberg story, the Donald Trump-owned 40 Wall Street building has been put on a lender watch as its vacancies and costs rise. The building has a mortgage of $126.5 million, Bloomberg reported. Mark Esposito has a new position as McMillan Options Mentoring Instructor at McMillan Analysis Corp. Randy Fox is starting a new position as Director for America's Relationship Manager, Strategic Accounts at Moody's Analytics. The second episode of Bevan Joseph's new podcast series, the Social Capital Guy podcast, is up and features an interview with one of his mentees, Manny Gonzalez. Congratulations to the Northwestern Wildcats men's basketball team that beat the Purdue Boilermakers on Sunday, a few hours before the Super Bowl in a game in Evanston, Illinois. Northwestern beat a number one ranked team for the first time in their history on Sunday, a historic event for the Cats. Luckily for me, I only had the responsibility of buying lunch riding on the outcome of the game. Traders Magazine reports that Russell Investments has selected Zach Buchwald to serve as chief executive officer and chairman of its board of directors. Buchwald will take over on May 1st, succeeding Michelle Seitz, who left the firm late last year. He will be based in Seattle. Buchwald was previously head of North American institutional business at BlackRock. The Derivative Forum Frankfurt will be March 22nd to 23rd in the Congress Center Mace, Frankfurt, Germany. The forum will focus on trading and clearing for derivatives and securities financing across asset classes and will feature 35 panels, discussion, and keynotes. A networking reception will take place on the evening of the first day. You can participate in person or virtually. The agenda for the Derivatives Forum Frankfurt is now live, and you can view it with the link in today's newsletter. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. First from Bloomberg News. The headline, Salomon Traders' debt-funded empire left reeling by Russian hack. A cyber attack that wreaked havoc across derivatives firms last week has left Andrea Pignataro, the Italian tycoon who heads the software company at the heart of the storm, grappling with something he has avoided for decades, publicity. The former Salomon Brothers bond trader who helped set up Ion Trading in the mid-1990s has largely shunned the limelight, rarely speaking at events and never once giving an interview to the English language media. While Ion staff worked around the clock to resolve the cyber attack and reassure clients as their systems were being held to ransom by Russian hackers, Pignataro 52 remained out of sight. My comment. The FIA Smart Brief headline for this story was Ion had Pignataro forced into public eye by cyber attack. Andrea Pignataro continues to be one of the most searched pages on MarketsWiki. In 2022, he was the 10th most searched page, and Ion Group itself was the second most searched term on the site. Here's a story from YouTube. Staking as a service, office hours with Gary Gensler from the SEC. Today, the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission charged Kraken for unregistered offer and sale of securities through its staking as a service program. Whether it's through staking as a service, lending, or other means, crypto intermediaries must provide the proper disclosures and safeguards required by our laws. My comment, Gary Gensler trying to slice his way through the staking news. Here's a story from the Associated Press. Mars Wrigley fined after workers fall into vat of chocolate. Federal workplace safety authorities have fined a central Pennsylvania confectionery factory more than $14,500 following an accident last year in which two workers fell into a vat of chocolate. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration cited Mars Wrigley in the June accident at the Elizabethtown M&M/Mars factory, saying the workers were not authorized to work in the tanks and weren't trained on the proper safety procedures for the equipment. My comment, the workers had to be cut out of the bottom of the giant vat. Here's a story from NPR. The headline, Black farmers call for justice from USDA. Nearly two decades ago, a class action lawsuit led by black farmers against the U.S. Department of Agriculture was settled. Then there was a class action from Native Americans and one from Hispanic farmers. And then women farmers filed their own. They all alleged through various years of examples that the USDA discriminated against them by denying them access to low interest rate loans and loan servicing, grant programs, and assistance, causing them hundreds of millions of dollars in economic loss and record-breaking land loss through foreclosures. My comment, we need farmers. No farmer should have to call for justice. Here's a story from Business Insider. Jared Kushner's private equity firm concealed the origins of Saudi-backed funds and used the SEC's own rules to help them do it, report says. Immediately after leaving the White House, former senior advisor Jared Kushner created a company that would eventually become a private equity firm with ties to Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. But because of SEC rules on reporting assets from investors of private equity funds, Kushner was able to legally conceal the identity of his investors and list them only as non-United States persons, according to a new report from the Washington Post. My only question is, does Jared Kushner have a laptop? Here are the top three stories from Friday's JLN. Our top story on Friday was, banks should abandon their blockchain fantasies, a commentary from Financial News. Second was, Ion brings clients back online after ransomware attack, source from Reuters. Third was a tie between the World Bank must take bolder action on climate, an opinion piece from Michael Bloomberg in Bloomberg, and SEC intensifies crypto enforcement with exchange settlement from the Wall Street Journal. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. First, a story from the Wall Street Journal. New SEC rules target corporate insider trading. Loopholes will close for executives selling company stock. For the last two decades, officers and directors at U.S. public companies seeking to trade illicitly on inside information had an almost infallible get-out-of-jail-free card. All they had to do was use prearranged trading plans when they bought and sold their company shares. The odds the government would target them for enforcement action were slim. It was an unintended consequence of a 2002 regulation called Rule 10B5-1 that academic research shows was abused by some executives. Here's a story from the Financial Times. Insider traders use ETFs to front-run M&A deals. Academics say research identifies $2.75 billion worth of potential shadow trades in U.S. between 2009 and 2021. Insider traders have used exchange-traded funds to conceal billions of dollars worth of trades, according to a team of academics who say their findings may be just the tip of the iceberg. Their analysis suggests at least $2.75 billion worth of anomalous trades occurred in the U.S.-listed ETFs before merger and acquisition announcements between 2009 and 2021. Here's another story, this one from the Wall Street Journal. Three Arrows founders start crypto bankruptcy claims exchange. Open Exchange would let users trade claims of failed crypto companies. The founders of failed hedge fund Three Arrows Capital Limited have resurfaced with a $25 million crypto exchange venture that will let users trade bankruptcy claims from insolvent platforms and funds, including their own. Open Exchange, or OPNX, was created by Su Zhu and Kyle Davies, who set up the Three Arrows together, and the two founders of crypto exchange CoinFlex. The new platform is expected to launch by the end of this month. Mr. Su said, "It has begun accepting applications from individuals who want to be among the first to trade their crypto claims." Mr. Su tweeted on Sunday that there were more than 3,600 signups so far. U.S. residents are among those that aren't eligible for the waitlist, the company said. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.